AMOX continues to explore questions about why a Honduran immigrant accused in the drunk driving death of a St. Louis police officer was in the United States. Based on a Sunshine request filed by the KMOX newsroom, we learned 24-year-old Ramon Chavez Rodriguez had apparently been in the U.S. for a number of years illegally and had been on probation for a second-degree assault charge since 2020. Joining us, SLU School of Law professor Richard Middleton. He teaches civil and political rights of immigrants, immigration law courses, and is an immigration attorney here in St. Louis. Professor, thank you so much for being with us today. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. Why was Ramon Chavez Rodriguez still in the country after criminal charges for so many years? What did you find?
Well, quite frankly, his immigration status is a matter of federal law, and we would have to really probe more deeply into his status under federal immigration law to know exactly where he was in the immigration pipeline. So there's really no information that we would know sans actually sort of investigating with the Department of Homeland Security and perhaps the Department of Justice, the immigration court system.
Well, Professor, we do have those calls out to Immigration and Customs. I think a lot of people in general are asking, so if someone has been convicted or pled guilty of a crime in the United States, how are they allowed to remain here?
Well, in the United States, we have a structure of government that we refer to as a federal structure of government. And so we have the federal tier of laws, and then we also have state and local level laws. So immigration law is strictly the domain or jurisdiction of the federal government. In particular, Congress has sort of complete power over the question of who can enter the United States, the conditions under which that person can remain in the United States, and the terms under which that person could be expelled or deported from the United States. And there's case law at the U.S. Supreme Court level that undergirds or supports this finding. And there's a 1976 U.S. Supreme Court case, Decanis versus BICA, in which the Supreme Court articulates this. At the state and local level, you know, criminal matters and criminal infractions are prosecuted by, sort of local level district attorneys. And so when a person has been convicted of a state level crime or perhaps a local ordinance, those matters are strictly within the jurisdiction of the state and local governments. And so that individual is in a different sort of pipeline, if you will, a different level of jurisdiction. And so a person could be charged and convicted of a state level crime and serve their, punishment here at the state level. That's wholly separate from their immigration status, which, again, is a matter of federal law.
Are there staffing issues in immigration courts at all, staffing of judges?
Yeah, many observers would comment yes. I would tend to agree. There is a dearth of immigration judges, and the ones that are serving currently perhaps are quite overwhelmed. There's a backlog in cases in many regards. It's not unusual for a migrant to have, a year to a two-year wait before they actually have a hearing. And so, there's sort of priorities that have to be considered by the immigration court system, and particularly the Department of Justice in conjunction with ICE and the Department of Homeland Security, in terms of which cases receive highest priority for prosecution and those that perhaps receive lower priority. But overall, there's quite a plethora of cases that are pending in the immigration court system.
We're speaking with SLU School of Law Professor Richard Middleton. He's also an immigration attorney here in St. Louis. Give us a little bit of a primer. So someone comes in to the country, maybe they do not have proper documentation. What is the process? How are they able to stay in the country?
That's quite complex, but in general, when a person either arrives at a port of entry, for example, at Lambert International Airport, or they cross the border without inspection, which we refer to as entry without inspection. That person is now sort of within the domain of federal immigration law. And so if, let's say, this individual entered the United States without inspection, that person is still subject to the immigration laws, which say that that person is technically seeking to be admitted into the United States. So if sort of apprehended by immigration officials, that person could be placed into removal proceedings. They would basically be charged as a non-citizen, what the immigration code refers to as an alien. They would be charged as being a non-citizen of the United States, present without inspection, and subject to deportation. A person could enter with inspection, let's say perhaps with a visitor's visa, and overstay their allotted time. They would then fall out of legal status, and they would then be subject perhaps to deportation.
If Chavez Rodriguez is convicted or prisoned, does he do his time in a U.S. jail, or is he then deported?
So again, when we are looking at convictions for state criminal infractions, the person would be incarcerated in a sort of a state, a state jail. However, the federal government, in particular, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, could ask for that person to be held on a detainer, and they would then sort of, you know, pick up that person and process them for removal proceedings, and they could be perhaps then held in a facility that has a relationship, a contract with the federal government for holding migrants in detention pending a removal hearing and perhaps deportation. But it's really sort of the notion that the federal government could step in and sort of preempt, if you will, or the state levels and say, you know, this person is of a high priority for us for removal, for deportation. And so we will preempt this state level criminal proceeding and put this person into federal deportation proceedings. So the federal government has sort of its prerogatives that it can choose to exercise or use its discretion to allow that person to remain at the state level, be prosecuted at the state level, serve their time at the state level, and then be processed for deportation at the conclusion of their sentence.
One other question that was raised was that he has a child here in the United States. Is that considered at all? Would that impact any case with immigration officials?
Well, it depends on where in the process you're making your evaluation. It could matter for terms of a bond hearing as to whether or not the migrant should be released, particularly if the child does not have any other caretaker. It could matter with regards to how old the child is. By all accounts, from what I've seen and read, this individual is unlikely to have a child who is of an age that it could be of assistance in filing for some type of legal status. But it would probably perhaps play a minor role, not a major role, if the child is under the age of 21, which is very likely given the appearance of the age of the person involved here.
Professor, thank you for helping us with this. SLU School of Law Professor Richard Middleton with us on KMOX. We appreciate it very much.
Absolutely. Thank you.